God bless the troops and thank you to their families. KTSA time, 5:09. All right, did you hear this story? This is huge. Former ambassador to the United Nations, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. You know who he is, the guy with the big gray walrus mustache, the guy who should use the Just for Men that he uses in his hair. He should get the mustache Just for Men so that the mustache will match his hair. He told the European Union and the London Daily Telegraph, and maybe this is why it's not making the big news here stateside yet, it should, that based on the latest news we have about the Iranians on a fast track to enrich uranium, that we must bomb their nuclear facilities. We cannot allow them to have the bomb. We must take out their nuclear facilities. Oh, this will be a good idea, won't it? On our 550 Newsmaker line right now, I got to talk to Sean Paul Kelly. He is the blogger-in-chief at the internationally acclaimed blog site Agonist.org. And I want to mention his website, Agonist.org, voted by the readers of the San Antonio Courant as the best blog in San Antonio as well. Sean Paul Kelly, welcome back to KTSA.
Chris, it is always a pleasure and a privilege.
Okay, Sean Paul, here's what troubles me about what John Bolton says. We know, before he was ambassador to the United Nations, how closely he was tied to President George W. Bush and how closely he is tied to this administration. I got to believe when he's telling the European Union and when he's telling the press in London that we're going to need to take out the Iranian nuclear facilities, I got to believe he's speaking in a weird way on behalf of the Bush administration. Am I whacked out for thinking that?
Chris, I really honestly don't know why you pay any attention to him. He's a disgrace. He was never confirmed by the Senate. He couldn't get
but he was
confirmed
Bush's guy.
The second time around.
He was Bush's guy, though. You're right, he was never confirmed, but he's...
He was Cheney's guy. He wasn't necessarily Bush's guy. Remember, he was put into the State Department as a mole to keep an eye on Colin Powell for Cheney. He's one
okay.
of the original neocons, and so that's the kind of context that you need to look at Bolton. And I don't understand why people really pay attention to this guy, because he's nuts. He's insane. The idea of nuking Iran is simply lunacy. Nobody is advocating that. Nobody is realistically talking about that. So, you know, we got to move past John Bolton and move towards what is really happening with regards to Iran. And there are some things happening in Iran that are of concern to me and that need to be addressed. And what I don't want to see is the Bush administration do what they did with Korea, North Korea, with Iran. But the problem is that we know the Bush administration would attack Iran, but they wouldn't attack North Korea, because that's just the mindset they have about the Middle East.
Well, I'll tell you, and I want to talk more about Iran, but I will tell you where I disagree with you. And while I might agree with you that John Bolton is nuts, and you mention his ties to Vice President Dick Cheney as more of a Cheney guy than a Bush guy, I think when you look at the vice president, you look at other neoconservatives, I think that John Bolton, where he might really be nuts, is he is saying what perhaps is being discussed behind closed doors, that ultimately what might be on the table if the Iranians continue to enrich uranium and if Mahmoud Ahmadinejad continues to talk about wiping Israel and perhaps the United States off the face of the earth, that maybe we're closer to taking out their nuclear facilities than anybody thinks.
Chris, you may be right that they are talking about these things behind closed door, and heaven help us if they are, but I really want to stress the point that Iran is not a grave threat to our existence, okay? There's no way that Iran can erase the United States off the planet. And I'm really hesitant to even believe that were they to try to erase Israel that they could, because Israel, remember, has a first and second strike nuclear capability.
Well, see, and there's the problem. While you say they are not an existential threat to the United States, if Iran ever tries to lob a nuke into Tel Aviv or into Jerusalem, I believe all-out, you know, a nuclear exchange in the Middle East begins. And, I mean, you talk about a domino effect around the world. I think this is a little bit bigger than the assassination of an archduke. I think that would maybe, you know, thrust the entire civilized world into a nuclear exchange.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a realistic scenario, Chris. I really don't. Part of the reason I don't is because the Iranians have been trying to negotiate a real settlement of all the outstanding issues that we have for several years. There was a very important document was sent to Colin Powell in 2003, right the war, at the height of U.S. power and prestige, where the uncle, we'll give you whatever you want, let's just cut a deal. And, you know, to my mind, when you're in a situation of, you know, that's why you go to war, to negotiate from a position of strength, right?
Yeah.
That's when you're supposed to cut a deal with the Iranians. And these guys, they don't make any sense because what they it's so strange because I think they're maximalist in the sense of Arabs as well, because they want it all, trying to negotiate a real settlement of all the outstanding issues that we have for several years. There was a very important document that was sent to Colin Powell in 2003, right after the war, at the height of U.S. power and prestige, where the Iranians essentially said, "Uncle, we'll give you whatever you want. Let's just cut a deal." And, you know, to my mind, when you're in a situation of strength, you know, that's why you go to war, to negotiate from a position of strength, right?
Yeah.
That's when you're supposed to cut a deal with the Iranians. And these guys, they don't make any sense because what they it's so strange because it's like they're maximalist in the sense of Arabs as well, because they want it all. They never miss an opportunity, like Arafat, to miss an opportunity, you know? They never miss an opportunity to miss the chance to cut a good deal. And that's what, you know, it concerns me, and I hopefully things will be managed at this point, and they seem to be dialing back the military stuff right now, from what I can tell, and we'll be able to get through 2009 to a new president, and then, you know, we'll see what happens after that.
Sean Paul Kelly, blogger-in-chief at agonist.org. I feel a little better. You're more optimistic about things involving the Iranians and the United States than I am.
They're rational people just like we are. They have a different mindset when it comes to the world, but they're rational people the same way that we are. They really, the interesting thing about Iranians is how similar Iranians and Americans really are. And I think a lot of that is because we spent so much time in their country. You know, I remember when I first went to Europe and I figured England was going to be the most Americanized country on the continent. Well, it was Germany. And for good reason, because we'd spent so much time in Germany, the influence in Germany, and I think it was the same with Iran as well. They really do like us, and if we can just cut a political deal with that horrible leadership that they have, I mean, we cut deals with horrible leaders all the time, right? So why
yes.
can't we do it with the Iranians, you know? Just we cut a deal, and we can get the oil from them, and we can get the oil from Iraq, and we can get the oil from the Saudis, and keep it from the Chinese.